Good morning. Today I've prepared a very long sermon on the doctrine of the Incarnation. So we're going to be... Oh, wait a second. How did this get in here? It's a Christmas card from the Food Grains Bank. You know, maybe we won't talk about the Incarnation today. Maybe instead we'll talk about Christmas cards. You know, every year at Christmas I look forward to getting the annual photos from friends and family. I especially like the ones where you know they had to set up a timer and there's someone like rushing into the photo from the side. They just always look a little bit disheveled. But Christmas cards are a great way to catch up with people at least once a year. Nowadays, in our digital society, people are snapping photos constantly. And I wonder why we're so obsessed with taking photographs. I guess we want to hold on to those moments, to remember the good times, to reflect. And you know, I wonder if Jesus might do something similar every now and then. As Jesus looks back at all the time that's gone by, from the beginning of the world until now, what would be his standout moments? If he were to pull out the Polaroids, so to say, which ones would make him smile? Ben, could you just turn the TV on there? Sorry. In the beginning was Adam and Eve, when everything was perfect and new and full of possibility. But some photos aren't as great as others. The reality is, this was a pretty big moment in human history. One really bad decision. Oh, awesome. There's Eve taking the fruit from the tree of life, and the snake tempting her. Every photo album has its crazy photos too. Can you imagine what the Ark must have been like? Close quarters for months on end. It must have been pretty wild. Then we have the rainbow after the flood. People seeing it for the first time. Now that was a moment for God to show off his artwork. Then there's the story of Joseph with his fabulous, colorful coat. Joseph has one of those suspense stories where you think things will just never turn out, but eventually they do. Moses and the burning bush, he was just walking along on an ordinary day and then met God in a burning bush. Then there's David and Goliath. This one definitely would be in the album. You can kind of remember David yelling, "You come at me with sword and spear, but I come at you with the power of God." That's definitely a keeper. And those first glimpses of the promised land, you know, when you've waited and waited for something and then finally you see it, who wouldn't snap a picture there? There's the story of Jonah and the whale. Wait for it. Wait for it. God sets up the perfect shot, and there it is. Jonah thinks he's a goner, and then God does what only God can do. Jesus could have loads and loads of photos to scrapbook, but I'm thinking some of his favorite pages would come from the Christmas story, because it was the first time people would meet him face to face. This would be the first photo capturing the moment. It all started when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary saying, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and his kingdom will never end." This news frightened and confused Mary. She was engaged to be married to Joseph. Here we see Mary telling Joseph the news that she would be having a son and that he would be called the Son of God. Can you imagine? God couldn't have picked a more unusual way to have his son come into the world. God knew, too, that this whole idea would scare Joseph and probably be a tough pill to swallow. So he appeared to him in a dream and said, "It's all good, Joseph. This is my idea. The baby will grow up and save people from all of their sins."
If you'd like to stand up, stretch your legs a little bit, and join us to sing, "O Come, Emmanuel." We'll be singing just three verses, and they'll be on the screen.
And there are more photographs to look at. Mary's now pregnant, and something happens. The government in that time under Caesar Augustus declares that all the world should be taxed, and everyone needs to return to their birth home for a census. This meant that Joseph had to pack up and head to his hometown in Bethlehem. So that's where he and Mary went.
Tonight.
When they did arrive in Bethlehem, the city was very busy. There were people everywhere. Joseph and Mary went to inn after inn after inn and could not find a place to sleep. Finally, one of the innkeepers offered an unusual solution. They could sleep in the stable he had out back. The stable was warm-ish, and there was lots of hay that they could sleep on, so that's where they went. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and Mary gave birth to Jesus. No big announcements, no fanfare, just a quiet moment that would profoundly change all of human history. Well, kind of quiet. God couldn't contain his excitement, so he found some people to share it with. Not kings or queens or prime ministers, but blue-collar shepherds working in the fields with their sheep.
Feel free to stand and sing with us. Angels We Have Heard on High. We'll sing the first three verses.
Yes. In this photo, we see the shepherds worshiping Jesus. They ran as fast as they could to get there, to be the first people in history to lay their eyes on him. Later, of course, others would see Jesus as well. The Bible tells us that there were three wise men, or kings, that came from the east to see Jesus. They had seen a special star pointing to where he was, and this led them to Jesus.
Okay, we have one more song to sing together, and then the men will sing for us. Yeah, sorry, miscommunication. We're doing one more, Away in a Manger. And it's not the one that's in the hymn book. It's the other one that you will know when you hear it, but it doesn't start high. Okay.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
If God had a photo album, would he pause here? He knew what all of this would mean, but would people get it? Would people understand that because of Jesus, they could finally have a way back to a close and intimate relationship with their Heavenly Father? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life."